Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you've gathered us here this morning so that we can worship, be in prayer, so that we can sing, and so that we can experience your presence here in this place. We open our hearts and our minds to you. We look with attentive eyes, with attentive ears. Help us to experience your presence today. Lord, we lift up prayers for our brothers and sisters all across the globe who are recovering from natural disasters, who are in need of your healing and your restoration. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of those in Nepal. We ask that you would be with those who are suffering and for all the care workers who are helping to bring stability back into that region. Lord, we also lift up prayers for our brothers and sisters here in this nation who are experiencing a time of unrest and discord. Lord, we ask that you would bring your presence of peace and mercy and justice and healing. We lift up prayers for our friends, our family members who are not only here, but those around us who are in need of your guidance, who are in need of your strength, who are in need of your healing, in need of your peace. Lord, we ask that in what small ways that we can, that we might be your hands and feet, that you would use us to be your ministers and representatives to this world. We take a moment of silence and we lift up our prayers to you and we open ourselves to your Spirit's leading. Lord, we lift up these prayers as we pray the prayer you first taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Starting in the fall, later in the fall of last year, I started watching a series of movies. I watched the Three Hobbits, the Hobbit movies, and I watched the three Lord of the Rings movies. And for those of you who are familiar with those movies, you know why it's taken me so long. I just finished because I kind of watched about 45 minutes. I'd stop and I'd watch a little bit. I've never seen such incredibly long movies in my life. I came to them because my fiancé, George, he really likes those movies. He makes a lot of references to them, so I had to watch them so I'd get the references. And I just figured that I am owed a lot of chick flicks right now. So anyway, in watching those, there was something that appealed to me. I like those movies where there's an unlikely hero. Someone who, in the beginning, you just don't see them as capable of great acts of courage. And by the end, they're doing these amazing things, and you're cheering them on. And so Bilbo Baggins and Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee kind of start out unlikely and become these tremendous heroes, saving, if not the Earth, at least Middle Earth. And so there's that thing. I also like detective novels with those hard-boiled detectives, you know, the wisecracking guys and gals, but they have a heart of gold. So they'll bust up a room if they need to. You know, they'll blow stuff up, but they have this soft spot for the underdog. And so I kind of like those characters. But before I just kind of say that I like, you know, this kind of one thing or this other thing, actually, what I truly appreciate, whether it's in literature or whether it's in movies, is where there's character development. And so that characters become complicated. And maybe you have a show that you watch like that, that, you know, the person's a little good, a little bad, but they're, you know, it's a little more complicated. So they're not two-dimensional. Because that's kind of real, isn't it? For all of us, we have different kinds of character that is in us. And so if we were to make a list of who we are, or better yet, we turned to some of our friends and our family and we said, make a list of our characteristics, who we are and what we do. They'd probably list quite a few things, and it would just be our hope that there would be more positive than negative. Be interesting, though, if we asked people, friends and family and people who loved us, to not just list, make the whole list, but then to read down through it and find the thing, the one characteristic that is above all, that would define who we are. And so for some of us, they might be words like patience or grace or compassion. The character word might be strength or determination. Or they may lean more toward impatience and others like that. But sometimes we exhibit something to such an extent that people can say singularly, this is who this person is. Now, we read today from the letter of John, one of the letters, there's three of them, and this is traditionally the author is seen as John the disciple, so I'm just going to use John as the author here. It was intended for a particular community. It was for a community that had been in some turmoil about who they were. And so the letter is written to give them a definition. And when they're talking about a church community, a bunch of people who believe in Jesus, there are all kinds of things that they could say about that. That your characteristics need to be this, this, and this. But this is the singular thing that John says. He says that a Christian community loves. They love because they have been loved by God. They love with a love that is given by God. And so if there is a singular characteristic that you would have for a church or a community of believers, it would be love. So confirmands, 11 confirmands today as you sit here. Not only two people here are taking baptismal vows for the first time. Their family hasn't taken them for them, Ryan and Elizabeth, and so they'll be baptized today. But for all of you, you're taking vows that your parents took for you at some time in your life. And in the tradition of the church, that they took vows to say, there's evil in this world, but we reject it. They took vows to say, we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who walked among us. And then they vowed that they would raise you in Christian love. They would raise you in the faith. So what happens today is that you come forward and say, all right, for myself, I say I believe in these things. But more than that, you, by being here, have made the decision to become members of this church. You're going to hear the vows to be members by our prayers, a presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that you're going to vow to do all of those things as part of being part of the church. But I would say, I'm going to go with this letter from John, if there's a singular thing, if there's one thing that would describe who you are in the community, that would be love. Now, I don't want you to panic and say, well, that's a little hard, because yeah, I know it's hard. You know, I get irritated by people. I'm pretty impatient, and it's hard sometimes to find something lovable in someone. But the good news is that God gives us the ability to love, not on our own, but because of God, who God is. This is what the letter writer said in verse 19. We love because God first loved us. It's not something we have to create ourselves. Like, I got to figure out how to love. We love because God loved us, and it's in the room. It's here with us. And I'm not talking about some kind of sappy, romantic love. I'm not talking about an individual feeling like I'm in love or I'm celebrating love. And I'm not even talking about a love that's like on a to-do list. Okay, what are the things I have to do today? Okay, I have to love someone. It's not that kind of thing. It's a kind of love initiated by God that says, I, in this community of faith, will exhibit a love that doesn't have boundaries, that doesn't have conditions. I will try to the best of my ability to be and live out the love that God has for me. And it's a really in the flesh kind of love. We see it embodied in Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, chose to do that, who died for us, who rose from the dead. But even more than that, real live in front of us are parents and relatives who are here with us today. They are the people in our lives who shore us up, who say to us, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've been, or where you will go, you can't shake my love. It's just part of you. And that's the kind of love that Christian community is called to. Now, I know that's difficult. The writer of this used a Greek word called agape, a kind of love that has no conditions, a kind of love that is active and means not just kind of loving, but being in relationship with people. I know that that for you who are joining this church, this may not be your church for the rest of your life. It'd be very cool if it was, but it may not be. You go off, you get training, maybe go to university, you find careers, you move to different places. Many of the people here have moved from different places. And I also know that as you come into adulthood, this may not be the type of community faith that you'll choose. You may be a person who's drawn to a house church where just a few friends gather and worship there. You may want to go to a really big church where the music appeals to you. You may find yourself drawn to traditions in churches where worship is formal and there's a lot of ritual, and that might be something that you fall in love with. But I would say that wherever you find yourself in a faith community, in a church, this, if it's a vital, vital church, this is what you'll find. You'll find love. You'll find it for yourself and for family as you gather family together. You'll find it for your friends. And it will be a church also that will compel you to love. Because Christ loves us, and that's where it starts. I invite you to consider what it means in your life to love family and what that looks like, and to know now that you join a whole family and that together we're all trying to figure out what love is and to grow in it and to offer it to one another and to our neighbor out into the world. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, as we begin this rite of confirmation, we ask your blessings not only on our confirmands, but on all of us, that in the words that are said today, we might remember our baptismal vows, that we might remember our pledge to be a community of faith, that we might, in our hearts, devote ourselves to love. Amen.